Message today is based on the gospel lesson, but I'll make references to the first and second lesson as well. And it's titled, Living Between the Beginning and the End. Living between the beginning and the end. That's where we all are. Let's say a word of prayer. Father, bless the speaking of your word this day, and allow it, Lord, to be an encouragement to our lives. Allow us to come before you, to sit at your feet, metaphorically, and to learn from you as you come to us in your spirit, informing our hearts and strengthening our faith. For we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jake, I really, really like the way that you read. I mean, you give authenticity to a church being in Texas, bro. And I really, really like that. I really like that. The clarity is phenomenal. Our Bible readings today are really, really interesting. And to me, they're interesting for a reason that may not be completely plain or evident. I want you to take a look at the first lesson real quick and just kind of glance over it and look over some of the things that it says from Acts 11, 1 through 18. So this event that's being described here occurred in the very early part of the church's history. I mean, right from the get-go almost. Remember that the church was launched right into the middle of a Jewish culture, and it had to grow up from that culture in order to expand and go out into the world. And here we have an event that makes clear that the church wasn't going to be only for the Jewish culture and only in terms of the Jewish culture expressed, but it was going to go out into the world, and it was going to go out regardless of the tribe or people or language that was going to be given the gospel. Gentiles were called to be full participants and members in the gospel. Last week, we had insights about that as Pastor Harry brought the message of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd was taking care of the church as the church was being launched and still does that today. So in the first lesson, we have this picture of the church that's kind of being nurtured and launched into the world from this little crib in the Jewish communities and then going out. And then look at the second reading. The second reading takes us to the new heavens and the new earth. It tells of a new Jerusalem. It tells of the church being brought in as that magnificent bride of Christ right into the presence of the living God. We read about the wonder of God in that lesson being at the very center of things. We hear about every tear being wiped away. You can see that sorrow will no longer have any part in our lives because we'll be in the presence of God and in the perfection of a new heavens and a new earth. So you have these two pictures of the church, the nascent church being launched, and then the church being received into its final glory as that immaculate bride of Christ. So we have these two bookends, if you will. The church in the beginning, the Holy Spirit gathering it and embedding it into nations and cultures. And we have the church at the end, the bride of Christ in all her splendor in the realm that will be part of her eternal glory in the presence of God in the new heavens and the new earth. But there's kind of a problem when we look at the church either only through this lens or only through this other lens. Because where are we now? Because we're kind of living between that nascent church that we sometimes think, oh, it would have been wonderful to be part of that church at the beginning. Or we know it's going to be wonderful to be here at the end of time when the church is received into her glory. But we're not there. We're over here in the middle. We're here in the middle where stuff is really messy and hard. We're coming together as different peoples and different nations is really, really tough. And sometimes when we do that thing which we sometimes do, gather us together and have, say, an English and a Spanish service at the same time, it makes some folks feel really uncomfortable. I mean, I hear it. I hear it. It's tough. But how do we manage that in the middle of stuff? The church at the beginning and the church at the end. When we think only about the church in those two terms, in those two contexts, it can kind of make Jesus seem, well, maybe absent. Like maybe he was really present there when the church was being launched. We know he's going to be present at the end when the church is glorified. But what about now? What's he doing now? Sometimes that distance from Jesus can feel particularly acute, especially when life gets really mundane. Like when life hurts. When life hurts a lot. Jesus, where are you now? When it feels like this world is very far from heaven's glory and peace and joy, or when it feels like we're not in this enterprise that is being launched where all that excitement and energy was and where the Spirit was moving people to heal and to speak in different tongues, where is Jesus now? When it feels like the world is moving in a direction that is away from God, where is Jesus on the day when the bad stuff happens to me or to you? See, the person sitting in the pew next to you when the singing happens might be off key, you know? Maybe they're not me. I'm being mic'd, and sometimes I'm singing with my mic on, and I know I'm off key sometimes. Goodness gracious, that's not what is described as the heavenly choirs and stuff, right? We're way off. Or what about the morning when you get up and you dress and you think everything is great and you get into your car and your pant gets snagged and it gets torn and you come to church and you know there's going to be people watching to see how you're dressed and how could he come in with a ripped pant, huh? Or you know, like I don't even remember when, but one time I was sitting in church and I was singing. I was joyful, and I'm not particularly a good singer, but I try. And then at the end of the service, somebody said to me something like, you know, you were singing so loud that I couldn't sing, so I had to be quiet. Goodness gracious. Okay, so that happens. And where is Jesus then when life gets that way? Or think about when your kids were small. I remember when my children were small and we were coming in the car, and we were having to beat them down because they were fighting with each other, right? They were throwing things at each other in the car. And then you get to church, and immediately when you walk through the door, what do you have to do? Hi, God bless you, right? And you feel like that's the last thing that you possibly want to do. Where is Jesus then, right? When we have to fake it. Jesus told his disciples that in a little while they would see him no more, and then after a while they would see him again. But he promised a helper would come, and that helper would lead them into those things that they needed to be doing that Jesus loved and honored. So in a few weeks, we're going to celebrate actually the coming of that helper, the Holy Spirit, on Pentecost Sunday. That's just 2-3 Sundays from now. But Jesus told us that he would never leave us nor forsake us as well. So if you look around, and if I had to ask you a question to pinpoint what in the world is Jesus doing today, where do you see him working? Where do you see him working? Because, you know, we're still in the middle of Easter. I can still say, Christ is risen, and hope that you would say,
he is risen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, because we know that Christ is risen. He's awake. He's moving around. He's doing something. But what do we see that he's doing? I want to throw in a lesson that's not in our lesson plan for today. Listen to Paul speaking to the Corinthians. The Corinthians were one of these churches that were in a mess, right? Life was hard there. Mundane, maybe, the stuff that I just described previously was going on there. The body is one unit, Paul writes, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks or slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Maybe we can use that example that Paul writes about to the Corinthian church to think about Jesus at work. Who's the body of Christ? You are. I am. We're all part of the body of Christ. So, let me tell you what Jesus is doing in the middle of where we are right now. He's feeding sandwiches and chips to hungry folks that are living under overpasses here in the Dallas area. He has stitched countless blankets and pillows to give to people who are hurting. He's teaching English to folks that need to be able to live in a society that is primarily English speaking. He's preparing a vacation Bible school so children can learn of God's love. He's raising funds for a family that lost their mama much too soon through a Zumbathon. He's visiting shut-ins in nursing homes and prisons. You can find Jesus calling a sick friend and saying, "How are you doing today?" You can find Jesus in the rescue workers that go out to places where bad stuff has happened to help the people that are there. Let me ask you a question. Could Jesus be in Congress doing something right now? I mean, all we hear is bad stuff, but could Jesus be working to find a way to keep society ordered and moving so that you and I can have the freedom to come here and speak his name to each other? Jesus is vibrant and living and active. All we need to do is to look and see what his body is doing and moving. And you see Jesus at work. You see Jesus doing incredible, amazing things. You see Jesus alive and well, resurrected and living and being in our midst. Jesus' presence and influence for us and in the world is myriad. Mercies and joys are being spread because Jesus is alive and moving. He is here right now because two or three are gathered in his name. His Spirit has been poured out to us. We have the presence of Christ. He's making all things new. He is in the sacrament. He is in this word that's being proclaimed to you. He's in the fellowship of the believers coming together. The strange thing is, let me tell you, that in those darkest of moments, in the moments when I think that, no, I'm really all alone here, that's often when he comes and he speaks a sweet word of peace. When the hurt is deepest, when the cold is coldest, when the feelings of loneliness are the most intense, that's when, if we're quiet, we can sense the presence of Christ most profoundly. As I think about my own life and the things that I've been privileged and blessed to live through, those moments that are the toughest, that's where Jesus shows up most clearly, working through the body, working through other believers. And we find Jesus loving you and me into the kingdom. In this amazing tension of the bookends, that early church and that church yet to be, we live in the presence of Jesus who's working among us. You know, we heard the example of the woman in labor. That's where we are right now. We're in labor. The church and the whole creation is struggling until the new heavens and the new earth are going to be birthed. And there will be joy, incredible, joy unspeakable, because of the Lamb of God that gave his life so that the world can be redeemed and forgiven, and who promises to return one day to to restore order and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, let us see where you move. Let us see where you are this day. Allow us to be that body that comes together from all corners of the world to honor you by living out your purposes in our midst. In the name of Jesus, amen.